Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
Nice to see you all. My name is Ben. It's nice to be here again this morning. Before I started, I wanted to, who was here last time I was here? Okay, if you're raising your hand, you were here. I want to give you a public apology right now for something that's been like weighing on my soul for the 4 months since I've been here. It's been like I haven't been able to sleep as well at night, and it's just been kind of killing me. That Chris said before I left, I said, give me a little bit of parameters. Like what kind of parameters do you have? Like, what can I say? What can I do? What do you want? And he said, anything is fine. Just, you know, he said, I try to keep things around, you know, 20, 25, 30 minutes. Try to keep it around that time frame. That's it. And I said, okay, that sounds great. So I thought, I want to be mindful of that because I'm a big time. Like, I'm time. If you're on time, you're late. Like, I'm kind of one of those kind of guys. And so I told Nikki I was a little worried about time. And she said, okay, I'll put a clock over there for you. I thought, this was wonderful. Clock was there. And then as I started going, I looked over the clock and realized, I forgot what time it was when I started. I didn't pay attention. I thought, I don't know what time it is. I don't even know what it is. I thought, well, nobody stood up and walked out. So I kind of kept going. I kept looking at it, trying to like go back. Okay, announcements, visiting. I couldn't remember. And so about 2 or 3 weeks later, I thought, I like to go online. And whenever I speak, I like to listen to it. Like when I was a pastor for, you know, so many years, I'd go back and listen to it. I figured if everybody else had to listen to it, I should have to put myself through it too. So I went back to listen to it, and I looked at the time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I went so much over. Like, I went so far over my time. And so I wanted to apologize for that. And so I thought, well, it could average out, right? It could work out. So I thought, this morning, I'm going to keep things short. I'm only going 8.5 minutes. So we're going to get right outside, and it's going to be good. But I told my wife about it. She said, well, just set a timer. And I said, okay. So today, I'm setting a timer on my watch. So if I start reaching for my watch, it's not going to make any sounds, but I'm going to try to inconspicuously reach for it if I could. So there you go. I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness, and I'll keep it shorter this time, hopefully. So for anybody who wasn't here last time, my name is Ben Lafreniere. I grew up in Duluth, and we lived in Duluth. My wife and I lived in Duluth until we had our oldest daughter, who's going to be 16 next month. And so we've lived in the cities for over 15 years now. And I had the privilege of pastoring Community Vineyard Church for about 8.5 years, and it was wonderful and glorious. And so it's fun to be able to, it's fun. I feel honored that when Chris said, hey, he sent me a text a few days later. He said, hey, like nobody threw too many eggs at you. Would you like to come back in July? I said, I'd love to. So here I am. It's all good. And when Cole was up here praying, I thought it reminded me of a story, you know, because I think Nikki took him a little off guard, right, asking him to pray. Did you all see that when he looked down? Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pray out loud into this microphone. And I just wanted to, he's probably not even here, so someone can tell him later. But part of what I do, one of the things that I love to do, I volunteer my time. I live in Washington County in the cities, and I volunteer my time as a Washington County Sheriff's Chaplain. And it's been a little busy this past year, so I haven't had as much time for it. But for 2 years in a row, or excuse me, 2-3 years in a row, I spend probably about 115, 120 hours in squad cars, like riding in the front seat and doing some, you know, being a part of some really crazy stuff. And like so much so that my wife made me get a bulletproof vest to wear because she was kind of worried because I made the mistake of telling her a couple of situations that happened because they'd get out of the car, I'd get out of the car. But anyways, there was one time I'm sitting in roll call because I'd always show up to roll call and I'd sit there. And one of the sergeant said, hey, Padre, even though I'm not a priest, but hey, Padre, would you mind saying a prayer? Or would you mind, you know, he said, would you mind saying something? And it took me off guard, and I said, like what? What? And he said, you know, like a prayer or something. And okay, so I'm like, I'm a professional pastor, right? I get paid to do this stuff, right? This is my gig. I'm like, yes. And like all these cops are looking at me and like, here was my exact prayer. I exaggerate to you 0 bits. I said, dear Jesus, please keep us safe and help us catch the bad guys. Amen. I'm like, what the? And I got done, and I'm like, what just happened? What, like, it could have been, like, eloquent, it could have been amazing, it could have been, like the angels could have come down, and what do I come out with? Help us catch the bad guys. I'm like, well, at least I got the, you know, keep us safe part out. Gosh, what a stinking moron. I just felt so stupid. Luckily, they kept me around, and I don't know, but so, take some encouragement from that. So if you have, moral of the story there, if you have a hard time praying, you get embarrassed to pray, yeah, just remember, don't say, help them catch the bad guys. That's kind of weird. So for anybody who's had kids, or has nieces or nephews, or babysat, or played with kids, or had anything to do with kids, once kids get old enough to walk and talk, or at least talk a little bit, but they can walk and talk, what's one of the first games they play? Go ahead, tell me. I heard it, hide and go seek, right? That's one of the first games you play with your kids is going to be hide and go seek. And when you play hide and go seek with your kids when they're really little, what normally ends up happening? Talk to me. They can't find you, yeah, because you're a good hider, right? That's good, and they're not so good. What else? Tell me some more. They cover their eyes, right? What normally happens when we play hide and seek with our kids, they end up hiding in the most obvious, completely non-hidden spot ever. Right? I mean, you can, you've played hide and go seek with your kids that are like this. and what do you do? What do you do when you're playing hide and go seek with your kids like that? Where's Caden? Right? I wonder where Caden went. Hey, Mom, did you say where, Sophie hid? She's such a good hider. I have no idea where she, you can walk around. And then after about, 6 seconds, they get so excited. Here I am. And oh my gosh, I didn't know you were there. You're such an amazing hider, right? You are the most brilliant kid ever. And I mean, they're kids and all, right? But really, they think they're hiding because their faces are covered, their eyes are covered, because they can't see us, they figure we can't see them. And so we look at those pictures and we laugh and we think, oh gosh. I think my wife would normally say, yep, our kids are taking after you there, Ben. You hide about the same way. But here's the thing. We play these exact same games with God. We play this exact same game with God. We try to hide from God. And it's been happening all throughout history. We can see David, king of Israel. He's the author, we believe, of many of the Psalms. And we think he wrote in it says in Psalm 139, we believe he wrote, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Where can I go where you are not? Everywhere I go, you are there. It's even become more true in the very beginning of creation. We can see that right after the first humans, Adam and Eve, once they had originally disobeyed God, the Creator, they tried to hide. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We see that in Genesis. They hid. What's the first thing they did? They hid. You see, Jonah, the Old Testament prophet, he was another one of those people who tried to hide from God. And even in the depths of the sea, in the belly of a fish, it didn't work that well, right? We think, I can hide from God. If I can't see him, he can't see us. Now, when we read these stories, we think, gosh, Adam, Eve, he's God. Of course he's going to know you're hiding behind the fern. He's going to know that. He's going to know you're there. And he's going to know when you come out with a fern leaf coming up, covering up your stuff, that something's a little bit different here. Right? So we read that and we think, good. It's a good thing I'm not that silly, right? But we are. And one of the reasons I believe that we work so hard to hide from God is just because we don't understand God very well. We don't understand how God works. We don't understand how his heart works. But if you want to grow in your relationship with God, it's really important to get to know the character of God. What is God like? How does God feel about people? What kinds of things are important to God? Things like that, et cetera, along those lines. I can tell you, if you would consider yourself a follower of Jesus, or you're just testing out the claims of Christ, or you're just kind of testing this out a little bit, you thought, I'll come to church this morning and hear what's going on. I heard they have good coffee. That's a good reason to come. I think one of the worst things that we can do as followers of Jesus is follow Christianity, not Jesus. Right? When I talk to people, when people find out that I was a pastor and I still, oh man, the church stinks. I'm like, yeah, amen. Sometimes it does. I could never be a Christian. I don't like most Christians. I'm like, yeah, me either. But let me tell you, man, what do you think about Jesus? You want to throw somebody off? Say, what do you think about Jesus? Ask someone, what do you think about Jesus? chances are many people are going to start with, I went to church one time and the secretary ran off with the pastor. It was horrible. Man, I'm sorry you experienced that. What do you think about Jesus? This one church, you ever heard about that one church that like the pastor embezzled like $1 million? Like, why would that? Yeah, that was horrible, man. People are messed up. What do you think about Jesus? Keep asking that question. Most people don't have an answer. Because for us, many of us, if I was to press into many of us, I was to ask you, what do you think about Jesus? You might stutter step a little bit too. So if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to follow God, we've got to understand and know the character of God. And if you want to know the character of God, we see the character of God in Jesus. We see it found in Jesus. Oftentimes, we tend to view God as changeable, like a parent or a boss that you just have to connect, you just have to catch on the right day. Right, you think about it, like when we're kids, or you know your kids, when your kids get old enough to work the system, like, am I asking mom or dad today? Which one is the good cop? Which one's the bad cop? Right? And of course, mom and dad answer the same thing. I don't know, what your dad say? I don't know, what your mom say? Right? There's this whole thing. They just know, I ask him on the right day. If I just ask him on the right day, at the right moment, at the right time, he's going to say yes. She's going to say yes. And so we have this idea that God is the same way. And we come to God feeling afraid, wondering, I wonder if God is having a good day today. Right? That's totally, God isn't like that. God doesn't work that way. And so today I want to look at a parable that Jesus tells us in Luke 15. And he's giving us an insider's look at God's heart, at what makes God tick. And I think it's like an inside view to the very heart of God. And you've probably heard this before. You could probably paraphrase this version before. But we find it in Luke 15. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them the parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the other 99 in the open country and go for the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and he says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not repent. Or do not need to repent. So let's pray. God, help me make my prayer more elegant than help us catch the bad guys this morning. And so Jesus, I just ask you, come open our hearts so we might hear from you. Jesus, we want more of you today. We came for you. We didn't come for church. We didn't come for religion. We didn't come for anything else like that. We came for you today, Jesus. And so I pray that you would be here. I know that you're here. I just pray that we would encounter you today. I pray that we would walk out different than we walked in this morning, God. I pray that anything that I say that's not of you, Jesus, we just chew it up, we spit it out, because all we want is you this morning. Open our hearts so that we can hear about your character and hear about you, God. Amen. So the place I want to start this morning is that God is very different than we imagined, or that we imagine maybe, right? God is very different than we imagine. We see it in verse 1 and 2. We can be very sincere, but we can also be very confused. Do you ever feel confused, like when it comes to following Jesus, when it comes to figuring out what I should be doing or what does this look like? Like, I feel like I spend a lot of time confused. Am I the only one? No? Like, I feel like it's kind of confusing sometimes. Like, I'm not exactly sure what I should do. And sometimes it seems like in life, there's not just like one or two options. There's like 18 options, and God's not giving me any idea yet which one to choose. And they're all, right? They're all decent options. I just want one, and I get confused. And this very idea that God is searching for those who are lost, who are broken, who are hurting, who are sinful, this is a really startling reflection to the people of Jesus' day. And why was it such an odd thing? Why was it such a confusing thing to them? Is because the Pharisees at that time, they were the religious and the law experts of Jesus' day. They knew and they taught and they worked diligently to follow all of the Old Testament laws. Right, these Pharisees, they knew all these laws so well that they wanted to be so amazing that what did they go and do? They went up and made up a couple hundred more rules to follow. Right, they thought, if we make more rules, we'll insulate ourselves even more from any of that other junk. Right, we're going to separate ourselves completely. I'm going to have this rule and all these rules so I don't break the big rules of the Ten Commandments. So I'm going to have a couple hundred rules. They know them all. They followed them all. They were like holy, or they thought. But we realize that if you looked at them, you realize they were separating themselves. Right? They were separating themselves from people. And when we read this, we think, kind of going back to like the story of Adam and Eve, and maybe it's just me, maybe you don't think this stuff, but I read the Pharisees, I think, gosh, you guys, you don't get it. Like, you've got the creator of the universe, like Jesus in flesh right there, and you're missing it. Like, you're making up all these extra rules, and you're missing it. And I think, thank you, Jesus, that I'm not as dumb as the Pharisees. And I kind of feel like God sometimes is like, hey, you know, knock, knock, Puddinhead. Right? Here's the thing is, you do just as many dumb things, Ben. You do just as many dumb stuff. You're just as much dumb stuff. We may not have laws. We may not have created laws that we follow, but we have checkboxes. Here's what I think, that many, many followers of Jesus or people who just claim themselves to be moral, they have checkboxes. Did I say any adult words out loud today? No? Check. Right? Did they just stay in my head today? Yep. Check. Okay, that's good. Did I pray today? Well, it was just a minute while I was driving. Check. Okay, I'm counting that. Yeah, Jesus loves me. I'm counting that. Did I read any of my Bible today? Well, not today, but like Meatloaf said, 2 out of 3 in bed and Jesus loves me, right? We've got this box because we think that these check boxes allow Jesus to love us more, right? We think the more good things I do, the more Jesus will love me. And if you don't believe me, check your heart next time. Like, because when we don't do those things, we all of a sudden think God's mad at me. Like God is upset at me. God doesn't love me because I haven't done anything. And do you see like the one common denominator in all of those statements? What's the one common denominator in all those statements? Me. I haven't. I didn't. I need to. I. But like Jesus already paid it, right? Like Jesus already paid the cost. I tell my kids all the time that like there is nothing you could ever do to make me love you anymore. There's nothing you could do to make you love me any less. Wait, I said that wrong. There's nothing you could do that would make me love you any less, right? There's nothing, like, I try to emulate as best I can the same, like, God feels the same way about us. It doesn't matter. My love is. It just is. It's always 100%. Like, I may not like you very much at the moment. Like, I might be pretty upset at you, but I still love you. Like, it's still 100% full. Like, it's always, it is. It just is. And that's the way that God's love works for us. It just is. And so why do we do that? Why do we do these checkboxes? Why do we mark these things off? We do that because it's easier to check a box than it is to check our hearts. Right? Yes or no is easy. Right? Did I read my Bible? Yes. Boom. Right? Did I pray? Yes. Boom. Like it's easy. That's a lot easier. But that really doesn't speak really much to our hearts. And so these Pharisees, they set up these laws, and what they did is they separated themselves from people who didn't have it all together. They believed that in order to maintain their own integrity, they needed to separate themselves from people like that, right? They need to separate themselves from the sinners. Look at that Jesus. He's talking to tax collectors. He's talking to sinners. Like he's hanging out with prostitutes. What's going on here? They would say, if you hang out with the uncouth, if you hang out with the uneducated, eventually you're going to be uncouth and uneducated. That's the way you're going to look because they're just going to rub off on you. As a matter of fact, the rabbis would teach that it was a waste of time and it was wrong to teach sinners the law of God. They only taught those who wanted to follow the rules. And Jesus, on the other hand, he's hanging out with people. Like, he's hanging out with us. He's hanging out with me. So how could this young rabbi, how could Jesus be bringing the kingdom of God to those who are so not worthy? They're not even cleaned up yet. And here's the thing. This is a big one for me. I don't know, this may not be as earth-shattering for you, but it's a big one for me, that God likes people whether they like him or not. Like, we all heard that, like, Jesus loves you, and he does, man. Like, I'm not downplaying that at all. But there's something about, like God has to love me, right? He doesn't have any, like, he created the whole system this way, right? He created that he would love me, but God likes me. But I remember a couple years back, actually it's quite a few years now, I don't remember exactly where I was, but I was at a place and there was a guy wearing a t-shirt. He was like in a group of three and he was wearing a t-shirt that had the most offensive thing on it that was like written on it on the shirt. Like it addressed God, it addressed Jesus, and it was just like calling Jesus about the worst name you could. He had it written on his shirt. And it takes a lot to offend me, right? Like I remember a buddy of mine telling me like quite a few years ago saying like, is nothing sacred to you? Like it just takes a lot to offend me. I'm not easily offended. And I remember seeing that shirt and I remember immediately being a good pastor and being concerned for his eternal soul. No. I remember immediately thinking, what would happen if I tried to take that shirt off him? Like what would happen? I mean, like, would my wife bail me out of jail if I told her what was on the shirt? Like, I'm like, what? And I remember just like, I was upset. Like, I was really angry to the point where I thought, I'm going to say something to him. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say something to him. And at that moment, I felt like God just tapped me on my shoulder. And he said to me, he said, I sent my son for him too, Ben. Like, I love him. I sent my son for him too. Right? Like, just like, it felt like it was like, right, like a knife right through my heart. Like, you're exactly right. That's me. That's me. Like Jesus, God in the flesh, he continually reveals a fundamental rule that governs the heart of God, and that is that God likes people, even those who don't know him, and people who don't even like him, or people who are indifferent about him. Right? You got to wrap your mind around this, that God likes people, all people, even those we sneer at, even those, especially right now, right? Even those that have different political positions than us, different whatever. Like, God likes them. God likes you. Like, God, like, if you only pulled one thing from today, like, you should go home knowing that God is really fond about you. Like, he's really fond of you. Like, God, like, he's got this really huge mantle, and your picture is on it, where he's like, oh, there's Wade. I love Wade. Even though Wade has lots of bad jokes, I love Wade. Like, that's like one of the things, I created those bad jokes in Wade, right? Man, I love Wade. I happen to love Wade too. But he's got your picture on the mantle. He's got, like, he looks at, he's, man, I like that guy. I like that guy. God likes you. So why do we picture God wrongly? We picture God wrongly because we're lost. I realize that many of us are following Jesus. We're like, I'm not lost. Like, I got all that worked out. But inside, we're many times we're still lost, right? Jesus is communicating that without God, people are lost, lost forever, right? We need to follow Jesus, right? That's the way we're going to spend eternity in heaven with him, is what Jesus did for us on the cross. So we need to follow him in that regard. But God, like, doesn't force someone to have a relationship with him who doesn't want to have one. And although we're only looking at one of the parables today, we see the same element to all three of the stories in Luke 15, right? A man has 100 sheep and he loses one, he goes to get it. A woman has 10 coins and loses one. A father has 2 sons and loses one of his sons. You know, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. But like, we're like sheep. We like nibble ourselves away from God, right? Sheep are really dumb. Like, they just nibble themselves away from God. They find like a good blade of grass. They find like a good thing of grass and they go that direction. They're not paying attention because they're just seeking after whatever it is. You know, oh, look at that one. Like, that's me. Like, oh, squirrel, right? Like, I'm distracted by everything, it seems like. So we nibble ourselves away from God. So we may be following Jesus, but it's easy for us to get off course. If you don't like the word lost, if that throws you off, it's easy for us to get off course. It's easy for us to change direction. As followers of Jesus, we also neglect our relationship with God. Right? We just neglect the relationship. Life gets busy. There's so many demands. There's just no time. I'm not able to do the stuff. I'm not checking off as many boxes. Right? And then I feel bad because I feel like God doesn't love me because it's been like a month, 6 months since I've prayed actually more than like, you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, you know, whatever, like some sort of prayer. I've got all the best prayers, you guys. I'll be ready to pray for you at the end of the service if you're wanting. I'll pray for like all 100 people in 40 seconds. It's amazing. So we neglect our relationship with God, and ultimately we see ourselves at times we rebel against God. Right? We know better. We know how to stay close to the Father, but oftentimes we willfully choose not to, right? We willfully choose to sin. We know that this decision is not going to bring me closer to God, but I don't care, I want to do it. We may not use those words, but that is essentially what happens. That's essentially the decision we make. It's essentially what our actions are saying is, I know this is not going to be good, but I'm going to do it anyways, right? I know it's not going to be good for me to stick this, you know, this fork into a light socket, but I want to do it anyways. So like, but many of us, we don't look like we're lost. Like we're Minnesotan, right? We got all that stuff together. But I've never met anyone that doesn't have significant holes and deep needs. Right, we all know in our own lives how big the holes are. Whether the hole in your marriage, or whether the hole in your life is a marriage, your marriage, that you just can't seem to get it together. You've been trying forever and just things are not working so well. Or maybe you're already separated, you're on the brink of divorce and think there's no hope. There's no hope. Maybe that's the big hole in your life. Can't figure out why your spouse is always so upset. Or maybe you're an overly anxious person and you can't figure out, what do I need to do? Do I need to take some pills? Do I need to get prayer? What does this look like? What do I do? Or maybe you've got some other life controlling habit. And so what are your holes? Like, what are the holes in your life? Like, what are the holes in your life that are keeping you away from Jesus? What are the holes in your life that you're kind of ignoring? You know they're there. You keep tripping on them, but you're thinking, oh, I'll deal with that later. So not only what are the holes in your life, but how are you allowing God to fill those holes? Because we have this idea that we can just kind of keep shoveling. If I just keep shoveling, eventually I'll fill this hole and eventually it'll all be good. We try to do without God, but we're lost without God. There's an absolute rule that is of the universe that's set up by God himself. We cannot find our way on our own. With us in control, when you're following your own lead, you're lost. So what does God do? We recognize we're lost, right? We're in this category. What happens? God makes the effort to find what is lost. We can see in verses 3-6, God makes the effort. God notices what's missing. Because sometimes we wonder if God knows what's going on in our lives. We wonder, does he even see all this bad stuff happening? Because if he saw all this garbage happening, if he saw how difficult my life was, he would step in and do something. Right? Have you thought that before? Like, he would step in and do something right now if he really cared. Does he know how hard this marriage is? Does he see how much pain my parents or my teenager or my boss is causing me? Does he see how difficult these employees are? But God is the observant one. He's the one who notices when we wander off. God doesn't react the way that you or I might react to some of the events or the pain in our lives when we begin to wonder if he's like paying attention. He doesn't react that same way. Like, I have found oftentimes some of the best things that we can say as followers of Jesus when we're praying with someone and talking with someone who's going through a difficult time, because sometimes we try to give answers because we feel like we should give answers, like we feel like there should be an answer. Sometimes the answer is, I don't know. Right? Sometimes the answer is, we may not find out till we hit eternity. And then we're going to get there and not care. Like, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why God seems silent. Let's press through it. Let's pray. So over the years, I've become very thankful that God doesn't react like me. His solutions are very different, and they're much better, and they're much more healthy. They're much more longer lasting. They actually work. Like, the things that I choose would not work as well, because if I was a shepherd, which I am not, and I would be a really bad shepherd, but if I was a physical shepherd, and I had 99 sheep, and one of them wandered off, you want to know what I would do? I would say, hey, 1% loss, that's manageable. Right? You just stay wherever you are, you dumb sheep. Maybe you'll come back. That seems like a perfectly fine business model. If I can just have 1% loss, you go ahead and go. Now, let's say, because probably what would happen in this situation is I would say, no, that dumb sheep is going to stay there. I don't care about that dumb sheep. If he wanders away, let him stay away. But what would happen is my lovely and very smart and intelligent wife, Jen, would say, no, go get the sheep. She'd say, no, you need to go get the sheep. Go get the sheep. And I would finally say after, you know, listening, okay, fine, I'll go get the sheep. I can tell you when I found that sheep, I would not have kind words to say to it. I most certainly would not carry that sheep on my shoulders home. Right? That sheep would not be on my back. And lastly, when I got home, the only person I would be calling is my wife to say, here's that dumb sheep. Right? I would not call my neighbors. Which is why we're all thankful that I am not God, right? Like, God notices what is missing. And God takes the initiative to search. Right? In all the world's religions, there's nothing like this. There's nothing like a God who initiates the search for the people who are not interested in him. Who are interested in, you know, following along with the way that he's laid life out to be. They're not interested in church. They've been trying to maintain control of their lives. And God, you know, God could respond in other ways. He could respond to the lost the way the Pharisees did by hating and despising people who break the rules, telling them regularly how much he dislikes them and how bad they are. You know, he could be indifferent, you know, like, hey, I've got 99 more. Right? I've got 99 sheep. Yeah. Thank you. Everyone under 40 chuckled. Thank you. You know, he could welcome people if they come to him, right? He could be welcome. If you come to me, yeah, it's all good. Come to me. It's all good if you come to me. But that's not the way he works. Right? Lots of churches are like that, right? They can be very friendly if you come in the door, but they're not going to go look for you. They're not going to go out and find it. But God goes further. He always goes after what is lost. So it's important for us to understand the reason that we have, the entire reason that we have a relationship with God is because God himself is drawing near to you. That's why. God himself is drawing near to you. Like, he makes himself available to everyone at every time fully, even if it doesn't feel like it. So not only does God search, not only does he begin the search, but he perseveres in the search. Right? God in verse 4 says, doesn't he go after the sheep until he finds it? Right? The key word there is until. He keeps going until he finds the sheep. Right? I'm very thankful that God's not like me and doesn't give up after a little while. Right? I'm a typical husband, right? I'd have to say, Jen, where's my iPad? It's right there in front of you. Where? I don't see my, like if I had to find it, like I would give up after a little while. But God perseveres in the search. He keeps going. Do you feel like, is there anyone in your life that you've given up on them ever connecting with God? Is there anyone in your life you thought, like, they are so far out there, that's not happening. That's not going on. Well, let me tell you today that God does not think that same way. God is still pursuing that person. God is still pursuing you. God is still pursuing me. And God joyfully and lovingly brings the lost one home. Right? Jesus doesn't tell us that God scolded the little sheep all the way home. He's not beating the sheep. He's not punishing the sheep. Rather, he joyfully carries it back on his shoulders. Right? He gets back and calls everyone and says, look, I've got my sheep. What does the prodigal father do? He calls, he throws this big party, he throws this lavish party, and he says, my son has come home. Right? My son has come home. My son who essentially wished I was dead, took the half of the inheritance and all, he has come home. Come party. Like, let's celebrate this. Like, that's God, man. Like, that's the way that God feels about you. Like, if you want to know love, that's love. Like, he doesn't scold you for where you've been. He doesn't scold you for what you've done. He doesn't scold you for what you haven't done. Like, God would say, like, I don't care about those dumb checkboxes you've made. Don't do anything. Like, they were restrictive. I didn't make those checkboxes. Like, the work is done. You can't do more. And so some of us are so afraid of being found by God because of what we fear he will do when he catches us. You know, we picture God as this huge, like, huge and really stern being, even mean, right? Like a taskmaster, maybe. You know, show like, go ahead, yell at me, God. I deserve it. Right? Go ahead and yell at me. Just yell at me, God. I deserve it. I screwed up. That's not what he does. That's not the way God works. So if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you're following Jesus, if you're just exploring the claims of Christ, no matter where you're at, I want to implore you today, just adjust your ideas, adjust your thoughts about what God looks like. You want to know more about God's character? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just read a bunch of the red, find a Bible that has the red letters. Right? Steal one. If you don't have a Bible, steal one from here. Chris won't care, I promise. If he catches you, say, Ben stole, I could steal it. Said I could steal it. Take one of the Bible, read the red letters. Like, read what Jesus said. Just focus only on what Jesus said, not what other people say about Jesus, not what other people say Jesus said. Like, go find it out for yourself. Read what Jesus said. That's how you're going to get to know the heart of God and do those things. Would you guys stand up with me just for a second? So the worship team is going to come back up. In just a moment, the ministry team is going to come up. So, ministry team, you can start making your way if you want in just a moment. But this morning, I just want to start with, if you're here today and you've never committed yourself to following Jesus, right? You're not even sure what that really looks like. You're not even sure, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Do I have to pray some sort of prayer? Do I have to, like, what is it, you know, what happens? I want to treat, like, all you have to do is say, Jesus, like, I don't fully understand you. I don't claim to fully understand what's going on, but I've messed up. I've messed my life up. I want to turn it around and follow you. You can pray whatever kind of prayer, whatever words you want. I've already proven to you that word, that the words that come out of our mouth sometimes, like, Jesus will interpret those. So today, if you've never begun following Jesus, I want to encourage you to follow Jesus. I want to encourage you to come up and talk with someone who's up on the ministry team up here. Just talk to them about they'll be able to tell you some next steps. They'll be able to tell you what that means. They'll be able to tell you what that looks like. And for the rest of us, if you've begun following Jesus, one of the things that I like to really say all the time, that our journeys with Jesus are just one step at a time. Like, Jesus calls us to take one step closer to him each day. Right? You're not going to get the full distance, whatever the full distance looks like. We were convinced that there's some sort of scale that we have to go through. There's some sort of walk, and once I've walked 100 steps, I'm there. No, that's not the way it works. Like, take one step towards Jesus today. So I want to encourage us all to take one step towards Jesus today. And also, I want to just pray. I just want to just address one last thing. Like, for anybody who's just thinking about, like, is Jesus pursuing me? As I was talking about what it looks like to have Jesus pursue you, if you feel like Jesus is pursuing you, I want you to come up. Just get prayed for. Or if life is so difficult that you didn't listen to a word I said because there's something going on in your life that's so heavy that you thought, I'm not even able to focus, come up and get prayed for that. If you've got some illness, if you've got some sickness, if you've got some injury, we believe that, like, Jesus wants to come, the Holy Spirit wants to come and meet you right now. And we believe that if he wants, like, he could heal you right now, right in this very moment. No matter what it is, come on up and get prayer. So I'm going to close in prayer. They're gonna take over. The ministry team's going to be here. Please come up when we're done. We'd love to be able to pray for you and just see what God has in store for you today. So Jesus, thank you, right? You're a good God. I thank you, Jesus, that you are pursuing us, God. Like, you're coming after us. It doesn't matter what we've done. Like, it doesn't matter all the bad things we think we've done, and conversely, it doesn't matter all the good things that we've done. Like, it doesn't matter to you. Like, Jesus, you're just coming after us no matter what. Like, you love us just fully 100% already. And so I pray that we would remember that today. If that's the only thing we take home with us today, I pray that would be it, that you are fond of us, you like us, and love us 100%. Your love is. It doesn't change, it doesn't go up, it doesn't go down, it is. So help us to follow you, Jesus. Help us to give everything that we have to you. For those of us who are just feeling so broken and so painful today, that just life feels so heavy, I pray that we just be able to take a step towards you, God. Amen.